To glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. You can find my stuff online at MikeLuoma.com. It's M-I-K-E-L-U-O-M-A. And at GlowInTheDarkRadio.com. You can find me on Facebook and Twitter just under my own name, after their .com/MikeLuoma. And we have a Facebook page for Glow in the Dark Radio, too, so facebook.com/glowinthedarkradio. I send out a newsletter every once in a while, so I've got a little mailing list. It's not huge, and I don't, you know, kill you with stuff, I promise. But I do let you know about things. So if you want to get in on that, just head to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com or the Facebook page, or even the blog in the sidebar, and just sign up. Sometimes I give away free things in that newsletter. As a matter of fact, you get a free thing just for signing up for the newsletter. The Glow in the Dark Radio Guide to Life. It's a free PDF. An ebook. It's kind of a sampler. It's an anthology. It has some comic book stories and comic book previews. It has an Alibi Jones short story you can't find anywhere else. It has some excerpts from the Vatican Assassin Index, as well as from the Vatican Assassin graphic novel. The Glow in the Dark Radio Guide to Life. You get it free, exclusively, when you join my newsletter. We're into the adventures of Alibi Jones on the podcast. Alibi Jones is a mediator for the Solar Alliance in the 2130s, and he's made some interesting new friends who have all abandoned him. Katie, Kit, and Piccolo are all gone. Good riddance to the lying bounty hunter Piccolo. He'd been deceiving Kit and Alibi from the minute they'd met him. Said he was after his kidnapped sister, but he was really trying to capture Katie Ramsey to bring her back to his boss, a crime lord named Lavalour. Katie grew close to her rescuer Alibi, even as she kind of resented having to be rescued. But then she grew distant and resentful of Alibi, too. The more he likes or even loves her, the more Katie resists. The cat-like Dakur Kit has become a friend to Alibi, but he's gone home to his planet, Hur, to see his family. Alibi had Piccolo arrested for trying once again to kidnap Katie, caught him in the act. Katie once again resented getting rescued, and left Alibi alone when they found out Piccolo had been released from custody. Alibi Jones all alone. That's where we begin Chapter 16, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. Got some new book news. As I was talking about last week, there is a new nonfiction ebook out that compiles a lot of my previous columns on Star-Lord and the Guardians of the Galaxy. There's also a lot of new research and stuff, new writing that I put together to make this book work. So it's out now for your Kindle at Amazon. That's Star-Lord and the Guardians of the Galaxy, an unofficial comic book history. Just look up that title, or look up me, Mike Luoma, at Amazon, and you'll find it. Kind of an embarrassing typo on the cover when it first went up. Instead of unofficial, it said unofficial. Forgot a C and an I in there somewhere. I've fixed it, but the Amazon people have been pretty slow about actually replacing the cover image. I've been complaining about that. I hope that it is fixed by the time you hear this. Also, I wanted to share some news that I'm going to be at Balticon this coming weekend, Memorial Day weekend. There won't be a podcast next week because I'll be traveling. But if you're in the Baltimore area, it's a great science fiction convention, old school science fiction convention, and it does highlight a lot of podcast fiction. That's kind of where the podcast authors first got together, and now we continue to meet there. You can find out more at balticon.org. Or just check out my blog, go to my website and go to the blog for details on what I'm doing. I think I'm on 3 panels, doing a reading. Should be good. That does it for news. Up next, we've got Chapter 16 of Alibi Jones on Glow in the Dark Radio.
So how would you describe a podcast like The Shared Desk?
It's a podcast that took its sweet time to do a promo.
Well, I think that goes without saying.
I mean, you could say The Shared Desk is a podcast about collaboration, because that's what we do.
Wait. There's a lot more to The Shared Desk. You got our Loot Crate looky-loo.
What's in the box?
And then what we're doing when we're not writing. Usually it's pretty nerdy.
Nerd!
And then there are the drop-ins.
Has the whole world gone crazy?
Yes, there are drop-ins.
And we love having guests on the show. It's The Shared Desk, after all.
And if it's Katie or Lauren, you get some lovely singing as well.
So find The Shared Desk on iTunes, Stitcher, or at theshareddesk.com. The Shared Desk. Two writers.
One podcast.
Different points of view.
Now here's Chapter 16 of Alibi Jones on Glow in the Dark Radio. Confused, Alibi finds himself waking up on the couch to the sound of the wand's alarm going off. A priority override call is ringing through to him, despite his do-not-disturb message mode.
Mediator Alibi Jones, this is Commander Gretch down at Safe HQ. We're going to need you to come down to the garrison here,
he informs Alibi. An oh shit list of horrible possibilities involving Katie runs through his mind like a freight train. The Safe Commander breaks the silence and unveils a possibility Alibi's mind hadn't created.
We've got the girl Katie we rescued yesterday in custody. She's charged with attempted murder. Could turn into murder. She said not to call you, so I did anyway. You probably should come down here.
Thanks, Commander Gretch. I'll see you soon, Alibi replies and signs off. Piccolo, he says to himself. Has to be. It is. When Alibi gets down to the Safe Garrison, he finds Katie in custody and Piccolo in the infirmary recovering from 4 bullets in his gut. He visits Katie in her cell first.
She plugged him with an old-fashioned slug thrower. A 38,
the trooper guiding him to the cell tells Alibi.
She must have bought it on the black market. They say he's probably not going to last more than a couple more hours.
I want to see him after I see Katie.
Yes, sir. The visitor's room is up here on the left.
The trooper leads him into the room, and then leaves to stand outside the door they came in through. The room contains only a table and 2 chairs. Alibi sits down at the table. There's another door on the other side of the room. The door opens, and Katie is escorted in by another Safe trooper. Katie, Alibi says as she's led into the room. Alibi, she replies in the same tone of voice. She stops in the doorway, surprising the Safe trooper who nearly runs into her. Come sit down, Alibi says.
I told them not to call you, she says.
I know.
I told you. You can't protect me, she says. I can handle myself.
Obviously, Alibi says with sarcasm, looking around at their surroundings for emphasis.
I don't need your help.
I see. Sit down. She reluctantly enters the room and sits down across from Alibi. The trooper follows her in, closes the door, and stands in front of it. Evidently, he's staying.
I'm sitting, she says petulantly.
So you are, Alibi concedes. Thank you.
You're welcome. Could we please have a more awkward conversation?
Alibi smiles. It's not the best of circumstances, granted, but it is good to see you, he tells her.
Sure,
she says with feigned indifference.
Right.
So, you finally shot Piccolo, he says in an even tone.
I shot Piccolo,
she repeats without emotion.
You're not making this easy, are you?
Alibi says, exasperated.
Nope. Why should I?
I want you to leave me alone, she replies, in a near monotone.
Why are you being like this?
Alibi asks her.
Like what?
She asks, defensively.
Shit,
Alibi says, shaking his head and looking down at the table. He looks back up at Katie.
I know we found something. Between us,
he tells her. He's briefly distracted, looks up at the trooper, decides he doesn't care, looks back down at Katie, and continues.
Strong enough that you're running away from it at full speed.
What? She acts surprised.
You think I'm scared or something?
You tell me, he says, turning it back on her. She looks away, studies the walls, the ceiling. She looks back at Alibi. He thinks she looks like she's about to cry.
I had to do it, Alibi. I can't get away from Lava Lore unless I get Piccolo off my trail. And he wouldn't get off my trail unless he was dead, he told me, she says. It was self-defense.
Yeah, Alibi says.
I'm not sure that defense is going to work for you.
Is he dead?
She asks. Not yet, Alibi tells her, but it looks like he will be soon. You plugged him pretty good.
He's dying?
Yeah. Good, she says, but she's shaking. You're shaking, Alibi points out.
Shut up.
Are you really a killer, Katie? He asks softly.
I've never killed anyone before, she says in a quiet voice, now filled with emotion.
I've never even fired a gun. She sucks in a gasp of air, a sob, and then breaks down crying. I won't go back there. It's okay to be scared, Katie, Alibi tells her, trying to sound helpful.
Fuck you, she rebukes him through her tears.
You're not sitting in a cell.
Not now, but I've been there, he insists. I've been in a cell.
How'd you get out? She asks.
Busted out, he tells her.
You broke out of jail.
With some help from Kit and... He stops. Piccolo really didn't help. No reason to mention him again. And I couldn't have done it without him. Him.
I don't know why you're doing this, she says.
What, doing what? He asks her.
Wasting your time here with me,
she says softly. I'm here because I want to be here, he says. And I'm going to get you out. Or at least back to Ceres.
Why?
I care about you, Katie, Alibi says. Shit, I might even love you.
Shut up,
she says, but less harshly.
I can't believe you just said that.
You, Alibi starts. He stops because he doesn't know what to say. He finds something. You don't want to go into the penal system out here. I bet Lava Lure has lots of people in the system, don't you think?
I can't believe you said bet again,
she manages to joke. Alibi smiles.
Oh, she responds. Shit, you're probably right.
Hadn't thought of that, huh?
No, not really, she admits. Shit.
Let me see what I can do, Alibi says. Maybe Aunt Anita can help.
Oh, I don't want to drag her.
You don't think she already knows about this? She knows everything.
I think you give her too much credit, Katie says.
I don't think you give her enough, he protests. Let me talk to her for you.
Damn,
Katie says, giving in.
Okay, talk to her. My fate is in your hands.
Not too dramatic, huh? Alibi jokes. He gets up from the table. Let me see what I can do, he says. I'll talk to her and see. Katie stays seated. She looks up at Alibi.
Thanks, she says. Could you tell Anita I'm sorry I took her bag?
She looks down at the tabletop and mumbles,
I don't deserve this kind of help.
Whatever, Alibi says. You're getting it anyway, so stop feeling sorry for yourself. Nice, she cracks, looking up with the first hint of a smile in her eyes.
Why should I?
'Cause I said so, Alibi says. He turns and leaves the visitation room.
It would be easier to help her if she wanted to be helped.
In the hallway, he sees the trooper who led him to the room. Can you take me to Piccolo? He asks.
Yes, sir, right this way.
Alibi follows the trooper to the infirmary. Piccolo lies in a bed under the covers. Alibi notices the IV drip leads down into Piccolo's hand, and from there down into his right wrist.
Morphine!
Piccolo says to Alibi when he sees him looking at the IV line.
I just press this button and... whoosh! All better.
How are you doing?
As if you give a shit.
Piccolo laughs, but stops short with a gurgling cough. When his coughing slows, he gulps in air to speak again.
That crazy bitch of yours shot me. I'm fucking dying. That's how I'm doing.
She's not mine, Alibi protests.
See, though? You ain't arguing about the crazy or the bitch references, are you?
Piccolo jokes and laughs and coughs again.
Or the dying part either, huh?
Alibi shakes his head. Shit. I'm sorry it came to this, Piccolo. Why wouldn't you leave her alone? Alibi stands in silence at Piccolo's bedside. Minutes pass before Piccolo speaks again.
You know he'll send someone else,
Piccolo says.
I'm replaceable. Lava Lure will have Peterson put someone else on her trail soon enough. Won't be anything you can do to stop him.
Who, Anton? There are APBs out for him already, Alibi argues.
Yeah, Anton's just muscle, Matt.
Piccolo coughs. He tries, but another series of coughs begins. Alibi sees fresh flecks of blood hit the blanket over Piccolo's chest. Piccolo has a hard time stopping the cough. When he finally does, he looks horrible. His eyes meet Alibi's.
can almost see the life leaking out of him.
Piccolo speaks, his voice now a soft rasp.
Someone will pick up where I left off. Maybe Peterson himself if you're really unlucky.
He grins at his own attempt at humor.
Lavalier will get her back. She's his property.
She's not his property, Alibi says, growing angry at the man, and angry at himself for the sympathy he's been feeling towards him.
Mark my words,
Piccolo rasps.
My... my dying fucking words.
Piccolo is finally as good as his word. His eyes close. The life support unit begins beeping frantically. Alibi backs away from the bed as medical technicians stream into the room. They surround the body on the bed and make one last attempt to revive him. They're not successful. As Alibi watches, Piccolo dies. He leaves the side of the dead man for the main desk of the garrison to call Anita and let her know what's going on. Anita agrees to vouch for Katie. With her seal of approval, the safe garrison commander agrees to release Katie into Alibi's custody. He signs a legal agreement to take her back to Ceres Central. She'll then be in Anita's custody as she awaits her trial for murder. Katie is silent as she's remanded into Alibi's custody. She doesn't say a word as they head to his ship. She maintains her silence as Alibi pilots the ship up off of Cat's Eye to fly back to Ceres. Once clear of the planet, Alibi preps the cruiser for transspace. Katie finally talks to him.
I wish you'd forget about me and let me be, she says. Leave me alone.
I want to help you. I'm not doing this because I have to. I want to, he tells her. I like you, Katie.
I might even love you.
You shouldn't, she says. Can't help it. I do, he tells her. You hardly know me, she argues. In some ways, that's true. In other ways, I feel like I've known you forever. God, she exclaims. You're a hopeless romantic, Alibi. Get ready for transspace, he says. He triggers the transspace drive and they flash into the solar system. We've got a couple hours into Ceres, Alibi says to Katie. The asteroids are heavy around here right now. Katie gets out of her chair and circles around to sit across Alibi's lap.
Can you set it on autopilot?
She asks with a suggestive smile. It'll take longer, he tells her, looking up past her breasts, now right in his face.
I'm okay with that. We can spend some more time getting to know each other better, she teases.
Sounds good to me, he agrees. They entangle as the autopilot picks their way through the careening rocks around Ceres. Their entanglement carries them off the bridge and back to a stateroom, where the next 2 hours fly by. The proximity alert for Ceres Central wakes Alibi up from a brief post-coital nap. He hops up out of the bunk and wraps a sheet around him so he can bolt to the bridge.
Okay, so I'm falling in love with a murderer.
Not good. Anita downplays Katie's return. She tries not to overwhelm the girl and treats her with more emotional distance after the recent ruthless behavior. There's no big welcome back dinner. Instead, Anita has a pizza delivered. Anita, Alibi, and Katie spend a quiet night eating slices. Alibi and Katie end up sleeping together again. It seems right to Alibi, natural even. He wakes up early in the morning and looks over at the sleeping girl next to him. He laughs at himself.
Couldn't help double-checking to be sure Katie's still there.
He gets up out of bed, ready to take on the world, although there's nothing on his immediate schedule. It will be a day or two before he has another assignment. Anita, Alibi, and Katie eat breakfast together. When no one wants to talk about Katie's kidnapping and misadventures, talk inevitably turns to recent events. What do the Tekta have on us? Alibi asks Anita. Why do you think they have something on us? She asks. Well, Alibi considers his words carefully, unsure of whether he's talking to his aunt or the former head of the Solar Alliance. We're letting them abduct people?
We're not letting them. They're not doing it in safe space, Anita argues.
But if humans, can't venture beyond human space without getting picked off or kidnapped, that's worthless, Alibi insists. If we can't leave our own territory without fearing for our lives, what good is that? We have no respect. And we're stuck inside of human space, as surely as we were when we were quarantined by the Eldred. You fought against that. The Tekta are a problem, Alibi insists. They can't just take people like they did Miss Kay or Katie.
Fucking Tekta,
Katie says softly. She goes back to eating. I think you're right, Anita admits.
the Tekta have reached beyond their limits. Then why isn't the Solar Alliance doing anything? Alibi presses. It is being pursued through diplomatic channels, Anita says, trying to alleviate Alibi's concerns. Alibi is not reassured. That sounds like governmental BS, he tells her. The Tekta don't seem to be very good at listening. How can you have diplomacy when one side doesn't engage? There are back channels and things that go on outside of the public view, as you well know, Anita admonishes him. We have contacts. They are listening. I'm not encouraged, Alibi says. Anita deliberately changes the subject. Have you heard anything from that Dakur friend of yours? What was his name? Kit? She asks. Nothing since he took off for Dakur, Alibi says. He has my wand code. Said he'll get in touch, so I figure I'll hear from him sooner or later. I heard from Krish yesterday, Anita tells Alibi. None of the Eldred bodies tested as recent, she informs him. But there was something strange about Mazikov's body, Anita says. He said he wanted to talk to you about it. Something strange? Alibi says, grabbing on to the only good news she's reported. Something to do with tachyon particles? Some sort of time thing? Anita tries to explain further, but she isn't sure she understood exactly what Krish was talking about. Alibi calls Krish, bringing up the comm at the table.
Hello, this is Dr. Krishnavarta.
Krish, what's going on?
Oh, hello, Alibi.
Hey, Aunt Anita said something weird showed up with Mazikov.
The autopsy report came back. Strange energy readings from Mazikov's body. Tachyons, temporal or chronal energy. All over it,
Krish explains. So, what does that mean? Alibi wants to know.
This means that the body was bathed in particles whose properties we really don't understand,
Krish tells him.
We don't really know for certain what tachyons do, but they seem to move through time. If someone could find a way to harness them, perhaps they themselves could move through time. That's one possibility. We still know so little about tachyon physics, we can't tell what Mazikov was using them for. But he had to be using them. His body is soaking in the particles.
Weird, right? Alibi says.
Well, yes, weird, Krish agrees. But we don't know what it means, yet.
Okay.
Did you see him disappear, or anything inside of that machine?
Krish asks. Disappear? Alibi asks, surprised by the question. No, but he was surrounded by a force field of some kind. Maybe he used those particles to create his force field?
Not likely, Krish disagrees. But then again, we just don't know enough about tachyons.
Krish trails off. Alibi takes the opportunity to change the subject. Krish, none of the Eldred you tested were recent kills, Aunt Anita says. Is that right? Alibi wants to hear it from Krish himself.
No, Alibi. I'm afraid they were not recent. Some of the ones that looked, fresh on the planetoid were still over 23 years old,
Krish explains. Damn. Don't look so disappointed, Alibi, Anita says. The good news is, this means one of the ancient enemy hasn't returned, she says optimistically.
And never mind my footage, my evidence, Alibi says.
Footage isn't proof. It can be altered. The Tekta would argue against us too easily. We need actual proof. Hard physical evidence, Alibi. I'm sorry.
My testimony as a witness wouldn't be any good? And Katie's? And Kit's?
Well, Anita considers, Kit's might be worth something. But anything you two said would be suspect. You're human.
I would like to go back to that planetoid, Krish says.
What? Anita asks, disbelieving.
Really?
Alibi asks, excited at the prospect of another chance to find evidence. Out of the question, Anita says quickly, to quash their enthusiasm. I can't line up safe ships for another run out there. Already used up that favor. Besides, now that rock is off limits to both sides.
That's good, Alibi says. That means no one will be there.
There's an automated orbital surveillance platform feeding footage and info to both sides simultaneously now, Anita says. Keeps everybody honest.
The platform is not a problem, Krish says playfully. Dell and I invented the prototype years ago. I update the design for the SAIIF every so often.
Krish, I hope you're not suggesting tampering with safe security equipment, Anita cautions.
Maybe the ships were the problem last time, Alibi offers. Maybe we attracted too much attention. One ship might be able to make a less attention-getting visit, especially with Dr. Krish's help. I can be ready to go anytime, Krish says helpfully.
No way.
Anita stands up from the table as she raises her voice. Her temper is starting to flare.
There is no way you're going back there. I can't allow it.
Can I come? Katie asks. Alibi and Anita answer in unison.
No!
It's too dangerous, Alibi says.
They aren't going anywhere,
Anita declares. And you, young lady, have an appointment with security this morning. Today you get your anklet so you can stay out of jail and in my custody.
Don't make Katie reconsider the arrangement, Alibi says under his breath.
Katie hears him and giggles. He feels her foot curl up next to his leg as she plays a little footsie under the table.
And Alibi, Anita says, turning to chastise him, don't you have an assignment from Mbeke waiting for you?
Alibi gets up from the table.
Yeah, I do. And what a great time to go check in with him, Alibi says with mock happiness.
Bye, Krish. Maybe some other time, huh?
Goodbye, Alibi,
Krish says over the comm. As Alibi leaves Anita's apartment for his own, he overhears Krish trying one more time.
Won't you reconsider, Anita? We could find out.
Alibi closes the door. He takes out his wand as he walks down the hall. The Wanderer is a marvelous invention of the project. Everyone calls it the wand. It is a kind of thick, rectangular magic wand. Its ability to quickly transmit and receive information over interstellar distances is almost magical. Project scientists reverse-engineered the wand's communication tech from Eldred technology, presumably the work of the ancient enemy handed down over millennia. The Wanderer can tap into any convenient comm stream and then punch out across space using a trans-space-derived shortcut, or so Alibi's been told. Alibi makes his way into his apartment. Locking the door behind him, he uses his wand to call Mbeke, setting the wand for secure transmission.
Alibi? Good! Glad to hear from you, Mbeke says when Alibi gets through to him. I saved this next one, just for you.
Can you save it a little longer, like a day or two, or maybe give it to someone else? Alibi asks.
Why? What is going on? He asks.
I've got a little thing I have to take care of, Alibi says, trying not to tell him anything, but trying not to lie to the man.
A thing? Is there something with that girl? I heard about that. You made the news.
I did? Great, just fucking great, Alibi says.
What is wrong?
Mbeke asks. I'm just worried the wrong people saw that news, Alibi says. They would have gotten word eventually. I was just hoping we'd have a little more time before they found out.
Shit,
Alibi spits out the words. Katie's got some kind of warlord after her, claims she's his property.
Well, that is certainly wrong, Mbeke says. How does he get away with that?
He's outside of the Solar Alliance, Alibi tells him. He's got his own world, not under anyone's jurisdiction. A pleasure planet or something like that. Guy's name is Lavalur. Seems to think he can make up his own rules.
Ah, Lavalur. I have heard of him. He is a ruthless man by all reports. Do be careful, Alibi, he says. Whatever it is you are doing.
Thank you, Mbeke, Alibi replies, and signs off. He left the Pope with the false impression that this was about Katie and Lavalur, but he never outright told him it was. Alibi calls up Krish's code on the wand and makes another secure call.
Alibi?
Krish answers. Can you really be ready to go anytime?
Anytime,
Krish confirms.
See you in about 3 hours, Alibi says.
Did Anita back down?
What do you think? Alibi answers with a question.
I hope you know what you are doing, Alibi.
3 hours. Alibi out. Alibi heads down the hall. He rings the bell and opens Anita's apartment door. He strides into the living room. I just talked to Mbeke. I'm off to Rigel 4, Alibi says, figuring both statements are true, although placing them together like that is deceptive. How long is the assignment for? Anita asks. You know how assignments are. You never know how long they're going to take. Don't know how long I'll be gone. He heads straight for the door. I'll check in when I have a better idea of how long this will take. Bye, Aunt Anita. Bye, Katie. He wants to run, but tries not to rush as he opens the door and heads out into the corridor.
That was Chapter 16 of Alibi Jones on Glow in the Dark Radio.
So Alibi just kind of lied to his Aunt Anita, Katie, and the Pope. But now he's off to get Krish so they can go back to the old Eldred planetoid one more time to try to prove the Eldred have returned. We'll find out how their return trip goes on our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. That episode's going to come a week late, or a week later than it might otherwise. I'm going to take Memorial Day weekend off, that's next weekend, because I'll be down at Balticon. That's the Baltimore Science Fiction Convention. Balticon happens Memorial Day weekend every year. They keep inviting me back, and so I'm heading there. If you want to find out more, just go to balticon.org. And check out my new ebook that just came out. It's Star-Lord and the Guardians of the Galaxy, an unofficial comic book history. Built off of a bunch of old columns of mine and interviews I've done with people who created Star-Lord and the Guardians. You'll find that all at Amazon. It's an ebook in the Kindle store. So just look me up, Mike Luoma, M-I-K-E-L-U-O-M-A, or look up Star-Lord and the Guardians of the Galaxy, an unofficial comic book history. Or just an unofficial history, I think, in some cases. And that's it for this time. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. And I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.